Today with Sarah McInerney. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.
Now, in these slightly relaxed but still restricted COVID-19 times, we're going to take a look at some of the movies that we think are worth your attention. And I'm joined by Paul Whittington, Irish independent film critic, who has dropped in to guide us through the bewildering array of film fare that is available on TV and streaming services. And we're going to look at the 1970s in particular, because this is often dismissed as the decade that style forgot. Before we get into it, Paul, what's the situation with cinemas and when can we go back?
Well, until last weekend in the announcements, it was supposed to be July 20th, but that's now been changed, and I think it's next week as well. It's the Golden Monday everyone's talking about. But what cinemas are going to be showing straight away if they do open on that date is up for question, because not everybody is ready to go. In England, I know they're showing old films, classics, to try and tempt people back into cinemas, because how keen will people be to go into them is the other question. So for the moment, a lot of us are going to be concentrating more on streaming. It'll take
okay,
the
so we might not have
weeks.
The big releases or blockbusters ready to go immediately.
The first big one that I know of at the moment is Tenet, which is the Christopher Nolan thing, which I think is down for the end of July. That's probably the first big test case one. There will be other films in cinemas before then, but I think it might be slow, you know.
Okay, well, in the meantime.
In the meantime, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What people
there's plenty
can
to
do.
Be watching, yeah.
If we just look, as I said, at the 1970s, it was actually a decade of real growth and maturity, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because a lot of bad films were made in the 1970s, really dodgy films. But at the same time, something happened in the 60s. The studio system collapsed. Television came along, which everybody thought was going to be the death knell of the film distribution process and of cinemas. It turned out not to be. And also the counterculture happened. And Hollywood was run by old people who thought they knew everything, and they realised they were losing half their market, because by the sort of mid to late 60s, their films were beginning to look very old-fashioned. You know, Rock Hudson and so on, not to pick on him, and Doris Day, that wouldn't do it anymore. So they were desperate, and they brought in this group of younger filmmakers. So, you know, enter Coppola, Scorsese, Spielberg, De Palma, all these people, William Friedkin, and they were basically allowed to do what they wanted, which has never really happened that much before or since, because it's a high risk business, you know, so normally the money men are involved.
Okay, so these guys came along, and let's take a look at some of what they did.
Yeah.
Politics was a big feature, wasn't it? Particularly
yeah.
American politics.
Yeah.
So let's just take first a clip of All the President's Men.
How much can you tell me about Deep Throat?
How much do you need to know?
You trust him?
Yeah.
I can't do the reporting for my reporters, which means I have to trust them. And I hate trusting anybody. Run that, baby.
So that's All the President's Men. What's going on there?
Yeah, this was... we have Robert Redford to thank for this, because he produced it, and Alan J. Pakula directed it, but Redford might as well have, because he really oversaw it. He bought the rights to Woodward and Bernstein's account of their unearthing of the Watergate scandal as soon as it came out. He wanted to film it in the Washington Post. They wouldn't let him in the newsroom, so they took the exact measurements of the newsroom and they completely rebuilt it in Burbank or wherever. This is a film that ought not to be a thriller, and it ought not to sort of work, but because it's very long, and it's really about the procedure of nailing down a story. It's the opposite of the post-fact world we live in now, and it's a brilliant film, and it's all about these two guys, Woodward and Bernstein. We now know who Deep Throat was. He was Mark Felt. And in this film, in the car park, Deep Throat says to Redford's character, Bob Woodward, he says, follow the money. And it's just all about these two reporters going back to people again and again and again, hounding them, annoying them, drinking lots of bad coffee and taking notes. And it's a fantastic film.
Okay, and sticking with Redford, The 3 Days of Condor, tell me about it.
Yeah, he made a half dozen films with the late Sidney Pollack, and this is perhaps the best of them. And it's a classic 1970s conspiracy thriller. Redford is Joe Turner. He's a CIA guy, and he scans intel, basically, which was going to become something very important as the 70s and 80s wore on. He goes out for coffee one morning. He comes back to the New York office where he works, and everybody's dead. And he has to go on the run. His boss asks them to come in, but it's a trap. It's very much a Cold War conspiracy thriller, but it's really, really nicely handled. And it comes up, I think it comes up now and then on TCM, as does All the President's Men. It's a very good film.
Okay, gritty. And grit was good as it was in The French Connection.
Yes. The French Connection. William Friedkin, he was very talented. He kind of only shone briefly in the 70s, unlike the likes of Coppola and Spielberg and so forth. He made The Exorcist, which we might discuss afterwards, and he made The French Connection. You said to me the last time you don't like thrillers, so this...
Well, it's...
It's not that you don't like them.
I like to relax when I'm watching
movies. Okay. Well, then this is not the film for you, because okay. It's not relaxing at all. It's very good, though, and it's kind of based on a true story of a drug smuggling ring, and Gene Hackman is Popeye Doyle. He's a Manhattan narcotics cop, and they stumble on this very large drug shipment that turns out to be organised by this Frenchman called Charnier. And it's all about them following him and trying to track him down. And there's this lovely scene where Charnier is in a restaurant having, you know, lobster and Chablis, and they're outside on the street eating hot dogs and freezing their asses off. So it's all about that, but it's brilliantly done. There's a car chase in it, which is probably the best car chase that was ever done, when his car is chasing the subway underneath, you know, the overground line, and it is unbelievably good.
Really? Okay, so that's The French Connection. You mentioned Martin Scorsese. He was one of the new young directors at the time who arrived during the 1970s. You're going to tell us about Taxi Driver, but we're going to hear a clip, and this isn't the usual one.
Would you like to come have some coffee and pie with me?
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. I think you're a lonely person. I drive by this place a lot. I see you here. I see a lot of people around you. And I see all these phones and all this stuff on your desk. That means nothing. And then when I came inside and I met you, I saw in your eyes and I saw the way you carried yourself that you're not a happy person. And I think you need something. And if you want to call it a friend, you can call it a friend.
You're going to be my friend?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
No, he's not. that's the beginning of possibly the worst date in film history. He is Travis Bickle, Robert De Niro, who may or may not be a Vietnam War veteran. That's never made clear. He drives a taxi by nights. He's disconnected from the world and he has very poor social skills. That's Sybil Shepherd. She's a political strategist. He asks her out on a date, but the date, he takes her to a porn movie because he thinks she'll like it. So he really has no idea what is going on in the wider world. This film, it's a very adult film. It's kind of a hyper-realist film. It was actually re-released, so I got to see it on the big screen about a decade ago. It's a beautiful-looking film. And it's all about a disconnected society in the 1970s. You know, you have the bin strikes and the power cuts in New York, and the place is falling to bits, and so perhaps is America. And he is a very interesting character, because really we only see the world through him, and he's a very unreliable narrator. But after Sybil Shepherd turns him down when he takes her to the porno, he becomes obsessed with a 12-year-old prostitute who, of course, is played by Jodie Foster, and he wants to be her white knight and in a way becomes it. It's a very explosive film, but I'd have to say, if you had to pick a best Scorsese film, I think this is probably it. But as you mentioned, it is very violent.
Yeah, violent. And speaking of that, what about horror then? Because some people love being scared.
Yes. Not you.
Not me. And one of the horror movies that became a real cause celebre is The Exorcist.
William Friedkin again. And it's an amazing film, because actually when you watch it through, not much happens. It's like the Jaws principle, you know, that what you can see is much scarier.
This is a wonderful movie, like, really.
It is.
Like, even I have to.
It is. Yeah. It's so brilliant. It's all about tension. This 12-year-old, it's in Washington, D.C., this 12-year-old girl becomes apparently possessed, her mother believes, and starts levitating things and speaking in a very unpleasant way and saying unpleasant things. And the mother decides it's the devil and calls in the heavy guns, the church. Max von Sydow plays an exorcist. But it's really all about atmosphere. You keep thinking you've seen things that you haven't. The music, obviously, the unknown Mike Oldfield wrote the track. It just is this cumulative dread that actually is never really delivered on. Like, the bed jumping up and down isn't what you remember. It's just being afraid for no reason in particular.
Constantly being afraid movie.
It's kind of like now, actually.
Sticking with horror then, you're also recommending Carrie. We might hear a clip about that, actually.
Yep.
I've been invited to the prom.
Prom?
Yeah, the senior prom. You know, everybody's going.
It's that teacher that called, wasn't it?
Well, you see that I'm not like you, Mom. I'm funny. I mean, all the kids think I'm funny. I don't want to be. I want to be normal. I want to start to try and be a whole person before it's too late for me to... His name is Tommy Ross, and he's a very nice boy, Mom.
No.
And he promised to stop him and
meet
me before him. And Mama, I accepted, Mama.
Come to your closet and pray. Ask to be forgiven.
Yes. That's going well, isn't it? Yeah. I want to be normal. There's thunder and lightning outside. Piper Laurie played Carrie's absolutely crazy, very religious mother. And this Sissy Spacek was again a newcomer. And this is Brian De Palma's film. It's the first ever dramatization of a Stephen King film. It was his first novel, I believe. And it's very guignol. It's very 70s, but it's a very good film. And it's really, the book is clever in the sense, however you think about how it's written, it's about the teenage state. And she's picked on by her classmates because she begins having her period in the changing room. And that sends her into this kind of crisis. But she happens to have telekinetic powers as well. And there's this brilliant...
Always
handy to dealing with bullies. And there's this amazing sequence at the end where there's a concert, like a, you know, high school, you know, homecoming or something. And she... you know, trashes.
A couple of people texting in relation to the movies. In lockdown, I've been through Network, Chinatown, The Godfather 1 and 2, Parallax View, Midnight Cowboy, The Graduate. I'm running out of superb films to watch. Well, hopefully Paul's giving you some ideas. And another person says, French Connection is my ultimate classic movie. Speaking of classic movies.
Yeah.
We saw a new phenomenon come into being in the 70s, the summer blockbuster.
Yes.
Let's hear a clip of Jaws.
Look, we depend on the summer people here for our very lives.
You are not going
and
to have
if you
a summer
close those beaches,
unless you
we're finished.
Stop. We're not only going to have to close the beach, we're going to have to hire somebody to kill the shark. I mean, we're going to have to tell the Coast Guard.
Mr. Fleming,
we're
going to have to contact the shark
research
panel.
We're going to have to put extra on because
you have to
the
read
world
this entire
is going to come
harbor.
In here.
I don't think
one of you are familiar with our problems.
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
And you know what's so funny about this one, Paul, is it's still being quoted now in the context of COVID-19 and closing the beaches and should we not close the beaches? You know, it just made such an impact.
We're going to need a bigger boat and so on. It's full of great quotes. If you don't like this film, you don't like cinema, basically. It is just such a good film. And again, Spielberg was very young. He'd made a film called Duel about a man who's chased by a truck. Which was brilliant again, a nothing plot. And in this, he used basically the Hitchcock playbook and a rubber shark to create this extraordinary film. He had Roy Scheider, who I absolutely love in this film, who's Chief Brody. A woman goes for a skinny dip at midnight, bad idea, a great white eats her. And then there's this argument over, as you say, over commerce versus public safety. And it's just a wonderful film. And again, you can watch it again and again. We all have. It's just
and a lot
such
of the time
fun.
You're not seeing the threat again. It's just the music and you're seeing it from the
And it only looks dated when you do see the threat up close.
Indeed, it does.
Yeah.
Plenty more movies to get through, but we don't have time, I'm afraid. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is another one. The Godfather, of course, during the 70s.
Yes.
Badlands, plenty more. Alien, another good one. But unfortunately, we're not going to get to them today. But thank you so much for joining me. Paul Whittington, Irish Independent film critic. Now, do stay with us after the break. We're going to be talking about where you can go to eat come Monday.